Well, first of all, Paul, let's have a bit of a chat about the retained and the released list as well. Let's start with the players who have left the club. Run through a few names here. Let's start with Dean Furman, first of all. We spoke to him this week. He told us that he'd been offered a deal, but he felt it was best for him to move on. Were you disappointed with that?
No, not at all. I had a conversation with Dean, as I did all the players, 2 days after the season finished. And Dean's, out of all the players I've managed, they're probably no better than MD because I've had him for 5 years. I asked Dean what his thoughts were. I did tell him that if we did make an offer, roughly what the terms would have been. And Dean, being the nice kid he is, hinted that he didn't want to tell me if he wanted to leave or not, if that makes any sense, because he is a nice kid. I spoke to his advisor the next day, who stated that Dean wanted to try and go and find a club at a higher level and on maybe on more money. Which was something that at the time and still we weren't prepared to do, because all the players that they made offers to, we felt, are very fair offers, especially from where we finished last year.
What about Reece Wabara as well?
Yeah, I've sat down with Reece, and like Reece, you know, I've Reece for 3 years, and Reece, before we even spoke about contracts, he hinted that he wanted to play at the highest level he can, which was something I respected. There was no contract offer made as such, because the one thing we're not prepared to do is what's happened the last couple of years since I've been here, and that's wait and wait and wait and offering contracts and getting answers back on players leading right up to pre-season. I got the feeling that Reece wanted to go and explore other avenues, which is quite rightly to do, and wanted to try and get to a higher level. So like Dean and Reece, I wish them both all the best, you know, because they're two great kids who I've got a lot of time for.
An interesting one is Stephen Bywater as well. Obviously he was brought in, lots of experience, came in and had a bit of a commanding presence in that goal as well for you behind your back line. Is there any possibility he's left the club, but is there any possibility that he may end up still with Doncaster?
Yeah, there's still a chance. I spoke to Stevie numerous times, you know, he's an ex-teammate of mine, so we really good relationship anyway. And Paul Gerrard, spoke to him last week, and myself and Paul have got we've got a list of goalkeepers that we're prioritising, and we're speaking to them all, and Stevie is one that's on that list. Now that's not to say that we're going to re-sign Stevie, but it's also not to say that he won't be here next year. You know, there's decisions and conversations and being made on all players in all positions, whether they're with us or not, all the time.
Other players that were released as well, Jim McComb and Abdul Razak, Theo Robinson also. On Razak, he came and promised so much, didn't he? There was so much hype surrounding him, and he never really lived up to it. Is that fair?
Yeah, he didn't. And it was a disappointing one, but from our point of view and the club's point of view, it was a low-money, low-risk situation with Abdul. You know, there's no doubting Abdul's talent on the ball. The thing that we doubted was his work ethic off the ball. You know, and especially in League One, that is something that you really need. And Abdul's, as stupid as it sounds, is probably one of these players that will excel higher up. You know, he likes to get on the ball, but the sort of day-in, day-out, nasty side of the stuff, he's not very comfortable in doing. Well, let's put it that way.
What about players who you offer new deals to then? Kyle Bennett, lots of talk about him possibly going down to the South Coast and maybe joining Portsmouth. What can you tell us on that?
Yeah, it looks like that's what's happening, which is slightly disappointing, especially from my point of view. I don't put all the blame onto Kyle. You know, me, Kyle spoke a lot towards the end of the season, and we put an offer to Kyle that he shook me hand on verbally and said he wanted to stay and was happy with. I spoke to his representatives, who had hinted the same thing as well. They were supposed to call me a week past last Wednesday, 2 weeks today actually, to let me know what was happening. That never occurred. Tried to call them on the Thursday or Friday of that week and still didn't get a call back. News broke about him being down in Portsmouth, speaking to them, and then eventually spoke to them on Saturday, where I was told that he wouldn't be signing for Portsmouth and we could meet on Tuesday this week, despite numerous phone calls, especially to his representatives trying to arrange the meeting, cancelling meeting myself to meet up with him. That didn't happen, and in the end I had to send a text, quite a rude text, I mean, I had last night to find out what was going on. If Kyle was going to leave, I would like to have thought that they would have had the decency to give myself or the club a call But maybe people haven't got the same morals as I have and Doncaster Rovers have as well, which is disappointing.
You sound angry. You sound frustrated by it.
I'm not. Look, I'm long in it. I've been in the game 25 years, Jonathan, and I know how things work, especially when players are out of contract, and especially agents. And the disappointing thing from my point of view and the club's point of view was that the club's looked after Kyle fantastically well for the last 4 years. And the 2 years I've been here, myself, my staff and the club, through some difficult times without going into it too much, we've looked after Kyle. And if he's going to leave, I would have been like Dean and like Rhys, I would have shook his hand and wished him all the best. But the fact that they got a sort of half-hearted text after I had to prompt the text last night, and I was also told I'll get a phone call today about it, and it's still not occurred, it's disappointing. But you move on, and nothing surprises me. You know, it happens all the time in football. Clubs try and shaft players, players try and shaft clubs, agents try and shaft both. You know, it's part and parcel of it. And we go on with it. The one thing I've got to make sure we do next year, and I'm certain we will be a lot better than they were last year, regardless of who's here and who's not.
One of the players you offered a new deal to as well was Rob Jones. What will his role be? He's been working with the under-21s. Will he still be with you as a player, or will it now be as a coach?
Yeah, it'll be both. It'll be both. You know, I spoke to Rob's agent, actually, literally 10 minutes before I came on the phone to yourself. And we're just trying to sort the finer details of his contract out. And he'll still have a big, big role with the first-team squad. One thing I'm not going to do this season is guarantee anybody the place either. And Rob understands that. He knows we're actively trying to bring in another centre half. You know, but he wants to fight for his place, like you would expect Rob Jones to do. And we see him more getting involved with the under 21, the development squad, where he done a fantastic job last year, and having a bit of input with myself and the first team staff as well. You know, because we still feel he's got a lot to offer.
And you gave a lot of youngsters new contracts as well, the likes of Mitchell Lund, Harry Middleton, Liam Wakefield, Billy Whitehouse. We've seen how they've been a part of your squad and your plans this season. You would imagine, or it looks like, with you giving them new deals, they can have even bigger an impact this season coming up.
Absolutely. And I know I've said this to you guys before, that it's time that they actually realise their first-team squad players. They're a little bit of grace last year with being kids involved in the first-team squad. But now they have to come back pre-season, believe they're part of the first-team squad, and really push themselves to try and get into my team. And we've got high hopes for them. You know, all the kids, and especially the youth set-up, have came a long way in a short space of time, because when we took over, there wasn't that much coming through. You know, in the space of 2 years, we've had, I think, we're into double figures of our own youth team and academy that have actually played in the first team. You know, and we really want the kids to push on now, and the ones below them to start pushing as well.
Have you sat down now then with the owners? Do you know your budget? Do you know exactly what you've got to work with over this summer?
Yeah, I do. And it's something I'm buzzing about, Jonathan, because, you know, for the first time, going into my third season now, we'll have a settled close season and pre-season. We'll be able to, hopefully, and don't quote me too much on this, get the squad sorted out by pre-season, if not, definitely by mid-pre-season, so we can work with them. We all know where we stand, and we all know that we have to be better than what we have been last year. And I'm confident with the players that we've retained, and especially the players we're talking to at the minute, that will be much better next year. And it's not me trying to kid MD on. Myself, Gavin, and the owners are really excited about it, looking forward.
So do you feel that it's a fair fighting budget then to achieve promotion? To fight for what? The top two? The top six? What? How would you view it?
You don't stop, do you?
We've got to keep asking, haven't we?
We have to be better than what we were last year, first and foremost. We got ourselves into a position where we got in and around the playoffs, short space of time, in sixth place. And I think that's got to be a target for us. You know, they will be competitive next year. There'll be teams like there is every year with bigger budgets than us, but we believe that we can make a real push for it and definitely be better. A big disappointment for me last year was when we get in and around the playoff places, we didn't have the mentality to stay in there. You know, you talk about some players having a fear of failure. Maybe some of ours were a little bit scared of success last year. You know, and the mentality of the players that we're keeping in, the Keegans, the Coppingers, the Wellens, the Tysons, the Butlers, we're going to add similar mentalities to that, because that goes a long way in League One.
Let me throw some names at you then, Paul. A couple of players that you've been linked with so far. You were talking about goalkeepers and the fact that you need to find one, really. Richard O'Donnell, former Sheffield Wednesday Chesterfield man. What about him? Is he on your list?
Richard's a good keeper. If I don't watch a lot, he's somebody that we've kept an eye on for a long time. But because he's such a good keeper and he is out of contract, there'll be lots of clubs looking at him like we have over the past season. I'm not going to tell you if we're interested in any of the names you're going to put to me, Jonathan.
I'll keep asking them all. I'll throw them all at you.
I know you will, mate. Come on. He's one that's on our list, yes.
Another player you've been linked with time after time is Tom Pope, the Port Vale frontman. Out of contract, he said there's been interest from other clubs. Is one of those clubs Doncaster?
Yeah, well, we've shown an interest in Tom. We're talking about players' mentalities, and Tom fits the bill on that one. You know, he scored over 60 goals in the last three seasons. We're possibly missed since Chris Brown left, and, you know, as much as Nathan Tyson cut his name, Theo, for a time last year, have worked their socks off for us. We've missed that sort of target man. We've missed the sort of player who gets on the end of things and boxes, you know. And you know, I know I keep going back to stats, and they don't mean anything unless you win the game, but we're up in the top three or four in the league last season in the actual amount of crosses that they put in the box. But we were down near the bottom, actually within first contact and getting on the end of them. And you see somebody like Tom or a player of that ilk being somebody who could score a lot of goals from us.
So you've expressed an interest to him, to his representatives. They know about your interest then?
Yes, they do. They do. They do. And that was slightly disappointing because I know what came out in the press, and, you know, going back to other things about being respectful of players and other clubs, you know, that get leaked from Port Vale's end, which a couple of other things have this week about myself and Doncaster, which is quite disappointing because, you know, as a club, you want to be respectful and do things right, which we think we do, and not leak other things out about other players and other clubs.
And hopeful then? Are you hopeful about the Tom Pope situation?
I've had a positive conversation with Tom on the phone and these representatives because of the sort of player he is, and because of him being a goal scorer and the amount of goals that he has scored, there is a lot of interest from other clubs, you know. So, but he's definitely one in players of that ilk that we're speaking to at the minute.
And another name as well, which has been popping up on the social medias, is Michael O'Connor. What about him?
I think Michael's a very good player. He actually spent a short time with us from pre-season last year because he's local. I find it slightly wrong that the Port Vale chairman's came out and mentioned myself personally and Doncaster Rovers being after Michael when it's simply not true. You know, I think some people should keep their mouth shut sometimes.
Yeah, it can get frustrating this time of year, can't it? People like us asking you questions, and other people coming out as well and throwing names in the hat, and including yourselves. Is that to drive up prices and things along those lines?
Well, look, you can take from it what you want. We know as managers and clubs, when we speak to you guys, you have the questions that you've got to ask us, and we try and be as respectful as we can with answers. Everybody, the fans, the board, myself, other players, we all want to know who we're signing, when, and as quick as we can get them. You know, but we like to do things properly, and we think we're a club that's got a great reputation of doing that and doing things the right way. And it's just a bit disappointing when other people from other clubs come out and start talking about other players we're interested in and other deals that we're supposed to be doing, and it's simply not true.
So finally then, have you got a number? Do you know how many players you want to bring in this summer?
We've released a lot of players. And I think we probably need round about at least 8 senior players coming in, possibly more.
Wow, that's a fair chunk, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, as in size of the squad, as in quality of the squad, and I keep going back to it, which is a massive thing for us going into next year, the mentality of the squad has to be right.